God is good all the time, isn't he? And he's faithful to complete what he started. That's all he asks is for one specific thing, cooperation. No cooperation, no manifestation. Amen? Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. And his power is fear. So if he can deceive you, he deceives you to get you bound by fear. And then he controls you. See, he's a control freak. That's why it's so important for me and you in these last days. Because we're, I mean, all know we're in the last days. Amen? And in these last days, fighting for the presence of God is going to be vital. It's vital. Yeah, we fight, we battle in the spirit for against the powers of darkness, but I'm telling you, you got to battle to create an atmosphere for a holy habitation. That's our responsibility. Amen? To create a habitation, a holy habitation for the dwelling presence of the King of Glory. And Jesus gave us a formula. It was real simple. It said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. But that word D-I-E is difficult sometimes. We have a saying, it's a good day to die. Amen? Die to yourself. So everything involved in our life as a believer, remember we talked about this before, to really express Christ-like, you must accept his life and give yours. Without giving your life, you can't express Christ. It's impossible. I mean giving your life, meaning everything that you and I do, he's always first. He's always involved. He's the head. Amen? Everything that we do is acknowledged with him first so that he's always in front of us. You know, we wouldn't be making decisions that we make if his presence, if Jesus was with you all the time in the natural realm and walked with you hand to hand everywhere you went, let me tell you, you'd behave very good. We would be at our best conduct. We would be at our best behavior because there's something about the Creator. There's honor, respect, and reverence. That is called the fear of the Lord. And when we don't carry the fear of the Lord or is not always present with us, that means his presence isn't there either. Because his presence always expresses reverence. Always. And one of the things that the enemy wants us to do is always get involved in touching something that's unclean, agreeing with something's unclean. But there's something that's in us when we become a believer that's always groaning for more. Groaning for more. And when we don't get the more of the habitation, we become miserable. Now, there's times when God lifts his presence from you for a purpose to let you know how much you need his presence. I know when I sense God's presence lifting, and it's not that it's completely gone, but there's a lifting of so much presence. Man, I don't want to be near no one. I hate myself then. I can't stand me. And I just want to be away from everything until Dad returns. And in the meantime, it's like management. It's not freedom. Because only where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And when the Spirit lifts, man, we get manageable. We try to manage things. We call it demon management. Try to manage your demons. And if you're in here tonight, and let me share with you, if you're in here tonight and you were struggling with the praise and worship, that means there's something there that needs to be removed. The Bible says we don't fight flesh and blood. There must be a reason why you don't want God's presence. Because if you truly are born again, you have a desire for God's presence. Why? Because you were born again from his presence. That's originally where you came from. And if you're struggling with that, there's a demon in you or multiple demons. There's spirits there that are preventing you from getting in God's presence. Is everybody okay? Now, this is reality, and reality must always come first because truth is reality. You know, you may know truth but never practice it. Nothing's going to happen. Amen? So there's that place that you and I must be willing to do whatever it takes to battle, to fight, to surrender, and to desire. And there's times when you may not desire something, so you ask for it. Lord, I've noticed that my desire for your presence is drifting. Please restore it. It's real simple, isn't it? You don't think he's going to stop that? Man, he wants you to have that. He wants you to. But when he sets a stage, see, so many people are waiting for God's will to come to them in some kind of blueprint. It doesn't come that way. His will always unfolds. You do this, he'll do that, it unfolds. It unfolds. Because it's not a need-to-know basis relationship. It's a trust basis. But that cannot happen without God's presence. Does everybody understand? God's presence must be the most important thing in your life. I'll tell you what, even in his presence is the Word, too. His presence is the Word. The Word of God is the presence of God. Amen? If you never read the Bible before and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to know the Word. You're going to know the character of Christ. You will begin expressing him. After my visitation from the Lord, I didn't want to read the Bible because I saw too many Bible thumpers that were hypocrites. And I was concerned that if I began to read the Word, it would take me away from the personal relationship. Because people are more in relationship with a letter than they are with the presence. And in the presence is his Word. Don't get me wrong, I love this. And this is true, and these are his words, and his words are life. Amen? But there's so many times where people don't understand or lack of understanding, and they try to figure things out in their own understanding instead of surrendering things. Let me tell you, if you stop going to the phone and start going to the throne, things will begin to change. Amen? If you stop associating with things, bring a wrong impartation. How many of you know people that are out of order have spirits? You know, spirits bite. You know, one day I was praying for a woman in a hospital, and this other woman came up next to her and bent over and touched her, and a woman that was in the bed went, "Oh!" And I went, I wanted to get away from her, man. I'm praying for her. And I knew there was demonic activity in this woman. And the Lord scolded me, and he said, "Stand at the end of that bed and fold your arms." So I stood at the bed, folded my arms, and the woman bent over again to touch her. And when she did, the Lord opened up my eyes to the Spirit, and I saw this woman. She was a cup of serpents, and multiple serpents were coming out of her. And every time she would get near the woman in the bed, a serpent would bite her, and that woman would groan. And I thought, whoa. And that's when the Lord began to share with me about associations bring impartations. This is not about a soulish ministry or a soulish walk. This is about a spirit walk. You're either going to please God or you're not. There's no gray areas. None whatsoever. Amen? And when I saw that, I went, oh my God. What revelation that is. So people are getting bit and don't even know it. They're wondering why they can't get into God's presence because of their associations. Because they become too soulish. They're more about feeling and pleasing than pleasing. Amen? And that's what the Lord says. It's time to come out. It's time to set a new course. Look, we need to have the power of God. Things are about to happen that people are going to miss without being in the Spirit. And being in the Spirit and having the presence of God on us must be the most important thing in our life. Amen? In his presence is fullness of joy, right? Would you grab your swords and go to the Psalm 124, 127? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whose responsibility is to create a habitation for the Lord? Ours. Ours. Psalm 127. First verse, real simple. Let's speak it together. Psalm 127, it says what? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. Who build it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So what's God trying to do? He's trying to build a house. Amen? So the Lord's trying to build our house. He gives us everything that, in other words, you cannot use your tools, your equipment, your material. You must use his. See, he provides. When Solomon's temple was built, God made way for David to prepare for the temple to be built. Amen? Provided all the finest, but David couldn't build it. But he prepared for Solomon to build it, and God sent everyone. In fact, there were the arena to where he put wisdom into individuals so that they could build, so they could sculpture, so they can do all kinds of stuff. He put the wisdom. There were people that probably didn't know what the heck they were even doing. And all of a sudden, hey, man, I can do this. I don't know why. Just downloaded it, you know, and it was done by the Spirit, you know. And it was over with. And they started. See, when God builds the house, it's different. When we try to build the house, we labor in vain. So what he's saying, if you'll cooperate with my building of the house and use my material, use my wisdom, use my knowledge, use my understanding, your house will never fall. It will never be divided. It will stand strong. Amen. So what God wants to do is he wants to give us all of the material, all the building blocks to build his house and create a holy habitation for him, and so that you and I can dwell with him in this presence. And you know, when that presence and that peace comes, you get to a place where who cares? Why? Because you know that he's going to provide no matter what. He will provide. And Isaiah 66. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66. You know, the world is looking for God's presence. But the enemy is deceiving them. He tries to put a counterfeit presence in a bottle and drugs and immoral sex and pornography and TV and fame and all of this other stuff. What he tries to do is he tries to bring a place of false fulfillment. And that false fulfillment, because everyone's looking for a fulfillment, amen? And the reason why they're looking for a fulfillment is because they're looking for the presence of God, because that's where they came from. I know that when I had my visitation from the Lord, the first thing that I realized was it was you I was looking for. That high, that utopia I was looking for was the presence of God, because that's where I came from and I met my dad. Hi, Dad. You made me. Remember? I have a label that says lifetime warranty. Isaiah 66, and so do you. Verses 1 and 2, would you read it with me? Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? So does God want you to build his house? Yes. He wants a place, a holy habitation. Are we going to tell him no? Can we actually tell God no? You'd have to be a plumb idiot. Well, then we have to think about these things. Are there things that I'm telling God no because of what I'm doing? Amen? That's where he says, self-examine yourself. We've got to look at these. Am I using God's building tools to build this house? And am I creating a holy habitation for him? Or is there things that I'm doing that's preventing it, delaying it, misleading me? Is there still things that I've got before God? Those are idols. Amen? Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I what? So the Lord is looking for a place to build a house for him to dwell with. On him who is a what? Poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Wow. That means humble. Humble. Surrendered. An individual that is actually willing to exchange his life for his. Amen. Humble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turn in on a Tuesday night. Verse 1, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we what? Groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. In other words, we want to be clothed the way we were before we came here. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by what? Life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a what? A guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are present from the Lord, or absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be what? Absent from the body and be what? Present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our what? Aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing. So if we make it our aim to be well pleasing, that means that we are using God's building blocks and cooperating with him to create a holy habitation. Amen? See, I mean, think about it. And everybody has fallen into this looking for a fulfillment. Everyone has. People are looking for jobs for fulfillment. It may start off first for money, then it begins to look for fulfillment. Now their dependence is on the job instead of the Lord. Anything that is shift, remember the devil always wants to shift things. People are looking for a relationship. They find a relationship. Next thing, the relationship takes them out of the will of God. That's crazy. That relationship should build and encourage to unfold God's will and to create a habitation. They should be encouraged with one another, spouses. They shouldn't be encouraging one another to say, let's stay home and watch TV and eat popcorn. Because God didn't say that. Amen? There should be encouragement to abide in the presence of God. How many of y'all got touched by the Lord tonight? How many of y'all needed it? How many of y'all, don't raise your hands. How many of y'all struggled or there was a doubt or something that the enemy tried to place before you got here? Amen? How many of y'all had the thought of, it's another service? Don't tell. Don't raise your hands. God knows who you are. It's just, just another service. Shame. Shame on us, huh? Listen, Dad wants to surprise us all the time. Didn't we need tonight's presence? Hallelujah. And we need it. We need his presence. Without his presence, we're nothing. I don't care how much knowledge you have. And never exchange knowledge for his presence. Don't get so puffed up you know everything that you can't get in God's presence. Amen? Oh, praise God. We groan for his habitation because that's where we came from. And our desire is to be home. So we need to bring home here. Amen? Didn't Jesus give us the prayer? That thy will be done on what? Earth as it is in heaven. Hello? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, hallelujah. There's sometimes I want to blow up. I'm going to explode in a second here. I just want to blow up and cry. You know, sometimes it's not because of sadness, but such joy. Such joy. Man, I love God's presence. There should be this area where, man, I don't care what it takes. I'm getting in that presence. You know, we got to throw the flesh in there. You just got to grab your flesh and throw it in the presence of God. Get in there. And don't come out till you're burned. I'll smell the sweet smelling aroma. Then you can come out of God's presence. You've reached temperature. Then you become hot. Not until you smell the flesh burning. Amen? Oh, praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? For we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through what? Sanctification. Sanctification. That means to separate yourself. Actually, it's associated with being holy, being unspotted from worldly lusts and desires. The word tells us, as a good soldier, we shall not entangle ourselves with the affairs of the world. Amen. There's a lot of wannabes not willing to be. Amen. And we need to come out of wannabe and become a willoughby. So God chose you for salvation through sanctification. Now here's the sanctification. By the Spirit and belief in the truth. So the Holy Spirit is going to deal with me and you. He's going to utilize truth to expose lies and deceptions and darkness. Remember, when Jesus came out of the water and was baptized, what happened to him? He was led into the what? Wilderness to be what? Tempted. Amen? Well, let me tell you, every trial that we go through, every tribulation, every temptation, everything we go through is a part of training. And any area that you're not, that you're reacting, amen, needs to be killed. One of the things that God allows us to go through stuff is to expose your enemy. And what I mean by your enemy is the spirit that's dealing with you. That's called a demon. He's your enemy. Amen? So when you begin to react in things, that means you're reacting according to the old man. And God wants to get us to this place where we're no longer reacting, we're responding to the new man. Amen? So that means you and I got to what? Grab hold of, react until response comes. But you can't do it without God's presence. You'll try to do it in the flesh and you'll just, you'll react all over the place. You'll try to react by holding react. You'll become reactive. Amen? And you'll be radioactive and nobody will be able to get near you. Hallelujah. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, to beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by what? Epistle. Now, sanctification. Look, sanctification is an area where we are separated. We don't want to touch unclean things. We don't want to look at unclean things. We, you know, one of our first offices that we're to fulfill as a believer is the priesthood. Amen? It's one that ministers to the Lord. So in that, we must know what's clean, unclean, holy, unholy, what's pleasing and displeasing. And that is only going to be brought forth by the presence of God, maintaining a sanctified life to where we are in constant, everyone say constant, contact. Constant contact. Constant contact. Now, you can't, if you become unclean, God, there ain't going to be constant contact. There'll be constant drift. Amen? And the worst thing we can have is a long-distance relationship with the Lord. We want a close relationship. We want to hide in the secret place with him. Why? Because no matter what you're going through, you know you're going to go through. You're not going to get stuck. You're not going to go backwards. You're going to go forward no matter what. And now all of this training, all of these trials and tribulations is exposing your enemy and training you. No one's made it yet. Training never stops. We're training for reigning. Amen? And you're earning God's trust. He will not give everything to everyone. He's no respecter of person. Everything is available for everyone, but not everyone's going to get everything. Why? Because he can't trust a person. Amen? In Psalm 34. Everyone say, freedom is learned. Trust is earned. Amen. Psalm 34, starting at verse 1. Everybody there? Let's speak it. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. Oh, praise God. We're going to move away from how I feel to what is truth. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're making contact. Contact. Consistent contact. I don't care where you are. Next thing you know, let me tell you something, man. No, I don't care where I am. When I, you know, you can go into a grocery store, right? And all of a sudden you hear some music from your past. And all of a sudden something, you got to go, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Person next to you might pass out, but that's okay. Just lay hands on them. What are you doing? You're making constant contact. I do. I'm telling you, there's something that all of a sudden will try to bring me. I don't want to live in the past. I want to live from the future to the present. And so what I got to do is constantly sever myself. And when the enemy starts to, things are, oh, don't you remember what? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I'll start, praise you, Lord. I hear that song, praise you, Lord. Or a thought will come from someone trying to bring me into the soulish. How many of y'all know the devil wants to bring you into the soulish arena? Because if he can get into the soulish arena, he can slap you a little bit. He can mislead you. Jesus was never soulish. He had compassion, but he wasn't soulish. He walked by people. He didn't heal every single person. He walked by people. People sought him. Amen? And in this, God's trying to get us to this place where we are in constant contact, constant trust, constant surrender, and constantly dead to self. And it's going to take consistency, isn't it? So we want to be in constant contact. Let's read the rest of this. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us, what? Exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he what? He didn't hear you until you what? Sought him. And delivered me from all of my fears. Remember, fear is Satan's power. He brings people into captivity by fear. They looked to him and were what? Radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. Let me tell you, God will rescue out of all of your... Once you are in divine order, you are in divine order. You're building the house of God. You are sanctified. Look, you can't be in divine order without being sanctified. The divine nature begins to express. Divine character. Divine power to overcome. And I tell you, divine favor will be released. The word says, once you've done the will of God, then the promise comes, right? So once the Lord's asked you to do something, you fulfill it. I tell you, if you're in divine order, the promise will come. And then that's how we go from glory to glory to glory. Verse 7, now look at this. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him and what? Delivers them. Listen, an angel can kill 185,000 people. So what are we concerned about? If I have a legion of angels on me, man, I'll be kicking butt everywhere. It's a matter of staying in divine order. And knowing it. See, acknowledgement is very important. We acknowledge. We acknowledge. I acknowledge that there's angels around me. I acknowledge the presence of God in my life. I acknowledge the Lord before me. I acknowledge his word won't return void. I acknowledge. So by acknowledging, I decree. The word comes out of my mouth. I'm in the path of light. Amen. The lamp is lit, and I'm able to walk. Snaring my enemies in their nets while I escape safely. Amen. This is what God wants. Listen, he wants every one of his children to be victorious. So then we've got to get to a point where failure is not an option. Defeat is not an option. Rebellion is not an option. Laziness is not an option. Compromise is not an option. Reasoning isn't an option. We've got to get to these places where worldly options must be destroyed underneath our feet so that we no longer look back but go forward. Amen. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at you can't taste and see the Lord is good and live without his presence. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, and fear his reverence, honor, and respect, right? There is no want to those who what? Fear him. Why? Because he knows he'll provide far above all you could ever ask or think. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from defiling you. Keep your tongue from defiling you. Hello? It says keep your tongue from evil. And your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do what? Good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. Seek peace. Keep your tongue from evil. In other words, if you're in constant contact, your tongue doesn't have time to speak evil. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Man, just pray in the Holy Spirit for 3 days. I'll tell you, change your life. Depart from evil. Depart from those things that are going to promote doubt, discouragement, unbelief, fear. Depart from those things. Look at people got to stop looking at people and start looking at what the influence is. And you can't do that without the Spirit. People are looking at people. Oh, you see what they do? You see what they do? Hey, look it. You tell the person, you tell the Spirit by its fruit, right? I'm not looking at a person or what they're doing. I'm looking at their fruit because I'm a fruit inspector. I'm going to check your fruit out. Why? Because I'm not associating with anything that's fruit's not right. Because if the fruit ain't right, there's serpents there. And if there's serpents there, I ain't getting bit by them. I got enough fight myself. Amen? So I'm going to check your fruit. I check everybody's fruit that's near me. And anyone's fruit's not right, they don't get near me. It's long distance. But everybody has an opportunity to get things right. Amen? Every one of us does. Look, and if you don't want to be a fruitful individual, that's your choice. God will never force you to do his will. Never. But it's a terrible place to be to never have earned the trust of God. That's what we were born again for. That's why God created us. Amen? That's why we are sent in this realm to fulfill that mission. You won't fulfill the mission no matter what you do or try, no matter how many marriages you have, no matter how many children you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many things you've accomplished, you'll never be fulfilled until you fulfill the will of God, why he sent you into this realm. Amen? You know, sometimes people try to just buy more things for fulfillment. Those are shopaholics, aren't they? Some people just have more children for fulfillment. Okay, praise God. Keep your tongue from evil. Be constant. Stay in that place of constant contact. Amen? Constant contact. First Peter chapter 5. Don't get me wrong, children are great. I love children. But they're not my fulfillment. I love my daughter. I get good training from her. God uses everything and anything for training. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Glory. I'm sure we have volunteers to help train one another. Verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Likewise, you what? Younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to what? One another. You know what that means? Respect one another. It doesn't mean when somebody tells you to do something, you just jump off this cliff or whatever. No, it means respect one another. You sow respect, you know what? You reap respect. Submit to one another. Be clothed with humility, humbleness. God resists the what? But gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, release that promise. Casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. Quit trying to fix your own self. And don't take other people's burdens when you're not supposed to. You know, there's an area when you're in the Spirit and you're walking with the Spirit, God shows you what battles to choose and what battles not to. There are battles to hand over to him and there are battles that you're to do. Amen? It says be sober. That means be what? Alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy or deceive, influence. Again, it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. If you're not an individual that's making what's unseen to become seen, you'll always stay in a cycle of deception. You'll be one of those that are always learning, 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 and never growing. Amen? Because when you go around, you're learning, learning, you're always handing it back off. Can never advance. We're still exchanging those things for the world. Some people sell their birthrights. Is everybody okay? In verse 9, what does it say? Resist him. Resist him. How are you going to resist him? Look, you can't run from the devil. You must turn around and fight. You can't run from demons. You turn around and remove them. You fight. You bind, blind, loose. You call down fire. Whatever you got to do, you fight. You speak the word of God. You decree in his name, you must fight spirits, demons, and you can't fight them in the flesh. So don't get goofy and start calling them names. They could care less. That just causes more demons to come in because you're getting more and more angry. Amen? And don't get in an argument with your brother or sister and try and cast out demons out of each other. That ain't going to work either. Oh, man, you got a demon. No, you got a demon. You start casting out demons. And that's all they're doing. 16 more show up, and they're getting fed on both of you. And for them, it's a dinner theater. Hallelujah. Verse 9, but resist him steadfast in a what? Faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you ain't the only one going through it. So when the devil tries to say, you're the only one in the whole universe that is struggling like this. Oh, God. I can't believe it. I'm just no good. I'm about to just go home and die. Wimp. Women up, man up. Kick it off. Kick the devil off. Make what's unseen seen. Kick butt and go forward. Amen? Amen? Cut the garbage, man. Amen? Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. That's training. Why? Because after you're suffering in that training, he's going to do what? Perfect you. And he's going to settle you. Then what is he going to do? Strengthen you, amen, and then settle you. Why? So you're immovable. So know all your trials and tribulations, you count them all joy. Why? Because God is training you. He's exposing your enemies. He wants to know if you're really using his building tools. He wants to know if you're using his weapons or you're still reacting and trying to use your carnal state of being, which stinks. Amen? Proverbs 3. Glory. Proverbs chapter 3. Holy habitation. Before we get a holy habitation, we need a holy shift. Amen? There's got to be a holy shift. And it's got to be due with your heart. Something's got to have to happen where your heart becomes humble. Remember Daniel, when the angel came to him, what did he say? He said, the moment you set your heart to understand and what? Humbled yourself, I heard you and God sent me. Amen. The Lord heard and he was sent. Proverbs 3, is everybody there? Verse 1, let's speak it together. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Look at, trust what? In the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge. You acknowledge. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. Lord, what do you think about this? How about this? What do you want to do? Anything I need to do? So what are you doing? You're checking in all the time. Why? You're checking in to the commander. We are soldiers. He's the commander. You're checking in for orders all the time. What's up? Lord, if I miss something today, would you mind visiting and let me know in my sleep? Because I guess I was too goofy and didn't hear you today. So reveal it to me in sleep. Amen? Is everybody okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we? Okay. Next verse. Do not be what? Wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise chastening of the Lord. In other words, don't run. Amen.
Oh, nobody loves me.
God loves you. He corrects those he loves. Now, I know it's a little difficult when we were in the flesh when I was getting my butt kicked. When I was a kid, I didn't think they loved me. But because I was a flesh creature, they had to use the ways of the flesh. God convicts us. He chastens us within. There's a chastening within that you know. And it's the purpose of the chastening is to bring you to a humble state so that you can see and so that you can hear. It was to settle you, stop you. Listen. Why? Because he's bringing us correction. And let me tell you something. If you don't accept the correction, you're rejecting him. Amen? You reject him then. And then people wonder why things aren't whatever. They got to continue to sustain their own life, sustain all of this other stuff by themselves because they've rejected the Lord. And what did the Lord say? He said, you reject me and I'll reject your children. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Praise God, nobody's run out yet. In verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he what? Corrects just as a father, the son in whom he what? He delights. Praise God. Psalm 16. God is good, amen? All the time. In verse 7, I will what? Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Did you get counsel tonight?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord gives us counsel. Remember, these are training sessions. Amen. So the Lord's always releasing counsel. Now you can accept it, reject it. And if you reject it, you reject him. This person is not given the counsel. It's the spirit of counsel that's releasing the word of God. If you're looking at the person up here, then you're looking the wrong thing. You must be looking in the spirit, not in the flesh. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I will set the Lord always what? Before me. See, in that place, God is always here. The Lord is always here no matter what. You see his presence. You see his body. You see him. He's always there. Okay, Lord. What's up? Why? Because you acknowledge it. You make him be seen by you. You make him be seen by you. Why? Because you're acknowledging him. Well, I don't see the Lord. Well, make him be seen. Put him there. Does everybody get it? You put him there. Lord, I'm waiting for God to show up. He's there, dummy. And if when you put him before you, I always put the Lord before me, we won't be doing so many stupid things. Oh, God doesn't see. Right. Hallelujah. I have set. Did you see that in verse 8? Would you read that with me again? I have set the Lord always. Who set him? I. Does everybody get it? I set the Lord before me always. I don't need chariots, although I'd like them. Amen. I'd love to have them just, you know, be nice to. But anyways, I set him before me, right? We set him before us. So it's our responsibility to set him before us. Not him to set himself before us. It's our responsibility to set him before us. I don't know how to emphasize this enough. People are still waiting for the Lord. I didn't see him before me. Was that why you fell into fornication and lied and cheated and stole? Yeah. I didn't think he saw it. Is that why you did drugs, drank, and did stupid stuff? That's why you put evil things before your eyes? Yeah. Well, you didn't set them before you. No, but you set everything else before you. Hello? Hallelujah. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, thank you, Jesus, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are what? Pleasures, promises, and releases that he wants to get to me and you. Does everybody get it? 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Holy habitation. Everyone say holy habitation.
Holy habitation.
I'm building a holy habitation. 2 Corinthians 6. Glory. Verse 14. Uh-oh, here we go. Are you ready? Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. What's an unbeliever? Someone that ain't following. It isn't someone that says they don't believe. I'm a Christian. I just choose not to do the right thing. Well, then you ain't a believer. You're an unbeliever. And I ain't going to associate with you because your fruit stinks. And you're a cup of demons. And my cup, your cup ain't going to hang with this cup. And I ain't no Dixie cup. Hello. I'm the royal cup. I'm a holy cup. Overflowing cup. And I ain't a butter cup. That's what happens when you drink too much of the Spirit. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Belial with Christ? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people if they'll do this. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. It means sanctified. And do not what? Touch. Don't touch. Why? Because it'll affect your constant contact. Amen. Do not touch what is unclean, then you can't touch me. That's what he says. Does everybody get it? If you're touching something unclean, I can't touch you. Don't touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. So if you're touching something unclean, what's he going to do? Come on. What? He rejects you. Does everybody get this? Oh, but he's merciful. Yes. But his throne rules by justice and righteousness. Does everybody got it? He's very merciful. His mercy says, man, I sure hope you get to repentance quickly so we can get reconnected. That's called mercy. He waits for us to turn our way so we can get things right before the enemy kills us. He says, if you'll do that, if you won't touch what's clean, I'll receive it, then I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, there is that place where you know you're his son or you're his daughter. You know there's no compromise, there's no nothing. Why? Because you're in that presence where he is true father, no matter what. You don't have to make it up, and you don't have to set it up. There is a knowing. And in that knowing, now you can set him before you all the time. So everybody get it? Mark 16. All glory, holy habitation. In verse 16, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe, and the word believe means the what? Follow, will not be, will be what? Will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who follow me in my name. They will what? Cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will what? They recover. Why? That's the character of Christ, isn't it? Amen. I want to close it. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Holy habitation. So, when there's constant contact, amen, when the purity of God touches you, then you can touch others. And a change comes. And you don't even have to touch them physically. Just you being there changes. See why? Because you're now carrying a holy habitation. You're carrying the presence of God. But you must acknowledge that. See, you've got to look at yourself in that arena too. So if you set the Lord before you, and you know you're in divine order, then you set yourself in that place that you know that you are carrying the presence of the Creator. And you can begin to look around people next to you. You know, one day I went to a 12-step meeting, and I think it was one of my last ones or something. And the Lord was showing me something. I went into the room and I sat down, and they were speaking, and I thought, okay. And I said, can I say something? He said, no. Okay. A few minutes, can I say something? No. All right. And how about now? No. And then what I saw the Holy Spirit come out of me and walk around the room and begin to bend over and minister to people in the room. And he came back. I said, now? And he said, no. And they closed the meeting and I was leaving. Now? No. Get in the car. I got in a car, I started driving. This guy weighs me down on the road, says, man, I need to talk to you. He was sitting in the meeting. I didn't have to say a word. Does everybody understand? God was setting that up. Setting, acknowledging, knowing. See, one of the things God wants you to know is who you are and who he is in you. Amen? Psalm 1, we'll close here. Read it with me. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law or the truth of the Lord. And in his law or truth, he meditates day and night. In other words, he's always putting it before him. He's comparing. Okay, what's truth? What's deception? What's holy? What's unholy? What's clean, what's unclean? What's righteous, what's unrighteous? Why? Because he's always comparing these things. And he's increasing discernment by doing these things. And he's staying away from things that are unclean and maintaining things that are clean. And his laws, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Hello? Praise God. Holy habitation. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I ask, Lord, that you please seal this seed information in our hearts and in our spirit. Let it not be stolen, but utilize it to correct, chasten, convict, establish, and perfect each and every one of us. As I pray blessing over your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Be blessed.